Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
0-2. Correa to left field. That will get down for a base hit. Altuve and Bregman will score, and the Astros take the lead. Correa with a two-run double in the third.
Infield still in on this 2-2.
Hard hit ball, and Maldonado's first hit of the series extends the Astros' lead in game four.
That's why you don't bunt right there.
Bregman sends one to the gap in left center field, and that's going to get down and roll all the way to the wall. Two runs will score. It was Correa earlier. It is Bregman here, and the Astros have a 5-1 lead.
That takes a lot out of you.
Altuve hammers one to left. That might be the exclamation point of the series. First home run of the set for Altuve. That one felt a little deeper.
We're two out RBIs. Two out Lightning from the Houston Astros. It's been the story of the series. Hendricks throws one and Altuve hits it really far to left field.
Bouncing ball to the right side. Altuve's got it. The throw to first. For a fifth consecutive season, the Houston Astros are headed to the American League Championship Series. Something done by only two franchises in Major League history. It is five consecutive trips to baseball's Final Four.
Just checking. Yep, goosebumps. Still getting goosebumps. This doesn't get old. Five straight. Yeah, take that, A's. We're stealing your music. We're stealing your gimmick. Five straight ALCS appearances for the Houston Astros, and this is going to be a lot of fun. It starts Friday against the Boston Red Sox. Seth, yesterday's game, just the flow of the game, was perfect. That the White Sox got a little tease of thinking that they were going to win that game early on. Nothing super damaging, a solo home run, no big deal. And, well, Jake Myers would argue it might be a big deal, considering he ran headfirst into the wall. But as far as the score of the game goes, no big deal, because then the Astros just completely unloaded, and the exclamation point by Jose Altuve at the end. It wasn't the level of the Game 6 walk-off, but it was not far off for me, just because of symbolically what that home run meant and what that game meant yesterday, considering the comments of Ryan Tepera earlier in the week. Man, what a day yesterday. What a day.
Well, it was everything that you've learned about this team over the course of the last 5 years. It's that when they're challenged and when circumstances seem like it could be more difficult or what have you, they just have a way of rising to the occasion. And I don't want to overhype like how much of an effect Ryan Tepera, the reliever for the White Sox who insinuated that the Astros were still cheating, I don't want to overstate how much of an effect it had, but it was just that one little extra thing. You know, I mean, the White Sox were lucky not to have been swept. That was a weird game in Game 3. The umpire helped. A lot of the soft contact, a lot of the hits that the White Sox had in Game 3 normally wouldn't be hits at all. It was a confluence of bad luck and bad umpiring that even let the White Sox be fooled into thinking they had a chance in that series, which is why I almost, for a moment, felt bad for the White Sox fans as they were cheering for Altuve getting hit. Because at the time, the score was 1-0. Altuve's at the plate. He's the tying run. He gets hit. It's not. It's obviously not intentional. And the crowd goes crazy because Altuve's so evil. And, you know, and then they're booing. They're yelling F Altuve while Jake Myers was down on the ground injured.
Yeah.
All these things. Classy. And you just realize, oh, boy, they just don't have a clue, do they?
No.
And, I mean, like, but we had to, they had to do it to them for their own good. Those fans needed to be cowed.
Yeah.
And cowed they were. I want to tell you one thing, Sean. I'm going to tell you this right now. And this is where I was more proud of the Astros than ever. When I'm watching in the seventh inning, and I'm not big body language guy. You know that. I only bring it up, as our listeners know this, I only bring it up when it's relevant and when it's obvious. And I don't know if I've ever seen a team just absolutely 100% quit like that, the way the White Sox did. I mean, it was really pathetic. It was disgusting. And you got to blame La Russa for maybe his players taking on the personality of their coach. And I don't want to look. Obviously, La Russa's done great things in his career and in his life. But for whatever he is right now as a manager, that team just flat out quit. Did you see Abreu, how disgusted he was with La Russa for even coming out of the dugout after he got hit?
Yeah,
like he was just like it looked at. He looked like the kid who's. Mother is going crazy at a little league game, and you're embarrassed for the kid.
Yeah,
that's I was embarrassed for Abreu in that moment. I never hated the White Sox before. I didn't have an opinion about the White Sox. I despise them now. I hate everything about them and their stupid, currently third, soon to be fourth largest city in the United States as Houston surpasses them in population.
And yet another thing, yes, we surpassed them in population and in baseball relevance. Yeah, it was a. It was a fun day yesterday. I'm glad there wasn't a ton of stress going on during the game. You know, the Astros got up on them early. The fact that it was the big key hits in that game, the big key hits in the game on the box score were Correa's double, obviously, that gave them the lead, which if I'm a White Sox fan, I'm like, okay, here we go again. Bregman's double swing. I love that Correa got his double on an 0-2 count. And Bregman got his double on a 3-0 count. You know what I mean? Like it was so symbolic of just these guys. I think I felt it more in this series than any other series, and I don't know why I felt it so acutely. Maybe because the announcers in the game kept bringing it up, and I don't mean bringing it up in an annoying way. This has got to be, if you're an opposing fan base or an opposing team, this Astros team has got to be an excruciating team to play against.
It's just suffocating. Yeah, you're right. The broadcast crew did keep bringing it up. And in a good way, it's nice sometimes to hear people that don't cover this team day in and day out. As much as I love the guys that cover the team day in and day out, it's nice sometimes to just hear the quote-unquote outsider's perspective and to hear Wainwright talking about just how suffocating this lineup is and how much pressure they keep on you constantly. And it's also nice to see, Sean, and it's really a stark illustration with the White Sox versus the Astros. The Astros are such an incredible fielding team. And the White Sox are good at fielding too, and yet they also suck at allowing stolen bases.
Yeah.
Like that alone, when I'm watching, to watch them concede these stolen bases like they're nothing at all. I'm almost disgusted. Grandal, it was perfect irony, Sean, was it not? That when Tucker stole second, and Chaz McCormick, kind of with a little bit of gamesmanship, obstructed Grundahl's path a little bit. And Grandal didn't even fight it. He was like, oh, it's all right. And then he steals third. And that was more Kopech's fault than Grandal's fault. But they just concede things. They just let things happen. The Astros will fight you tooth and nail every single little moment of the game.
Yeah. I mean, you score 10 runs, you're going to score 10 runs all kinds of different ways, I suppose. But you're absolutely right. Like, they scored runs by manufacturing them. They scored runs by loading up the bases and getting extra base hits. They scored runs at the end of the game by hitting three-run bombs. I thought it was a huge turning point. Look, Correa's hit early was great just to get a lead and put some game pressure on them. To me, the run that they got in the next inning, I guess it would be the fourth inning, where you just alluded to it, where Tucker gets on base with the base hit, steals second, steals third, Chaz grounds out, and now you've got Maldonado up there, and Maldonado is, you know, he's up there. He's bunting. He's trying to bunt, and then they just say screw it, and then he gets a line drive base hit to center. His first hit of the series. It was awesome. It was an awesome day.
The only thing that kind of takes it the luster away from me a little bit, Sean, is that I'm still learning about this American League. You know, it's been since 2013, and yeah. I wonder sometimes if do we get like elevated back to the NL or something at some point?
Yes,
I mean,
right,
the Astros promoted. Have been to the ALCS more times than they haven't since they've been in the AL.
Yeah.
5 times out of 9, they've been in the ALDS.
Yep.
I'm told that the Yankees used to make that game a
Ooh.
Lot. I haven't seen it as of late.
Not familiar with that team. Text message real quick. Eddie in Chicago texts in. He said, sports talk this morning in Chicago is actually giving credit where credit is due. And the talk is about how do the White Sox get to the Astros level. I think they finally realize in order to have a special run like the Astros, changes need to be made. And it starts with Tony La Russa.
La Russa, totally 100%. It's not going to help, especially that people up in Chicago are watching Wainwright and Pruszynski talk during the at-bat. During Correa's at-bat, they were talking the entire time about, like, why is Kopech not in? Shouldn't Kopech be
right,
in? Why
right.
is Kopech not in?
Boom. Yeah, absolutely. All right, the only negative, I think, to come out of yesterday's game was Lance McCullers getting pulled early because he was feeling some pain in his forearm. We need to talk about that. That did lead to what, in my opinion, was the unsung hero yesterday. The unsung hero from yesterday's game had 5 heads. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a victorious Wednesday. Astros have moved on to their 5th straight ALCS. A reminder, Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, is going to join us at 7:30 on the show today. So make a note of that. We'll be pretty Astros heavy through the first hour and a half of the program here today. Lance McCullers was a big story yesterday. For the 4 innings he was in, he pitched pretty well. Little clutter on the base paths, but only gave up the one run. The solo home run to Sheets. Lance McCullers was pulled after 4 innings. I think there were a lot of people wondering at the time, man, what is Dusty getting cute here? Especially when he brings in Yimi Garcia, who is the scourge of all the Astro fans right now. Credit the bullpen. They were the unsung hero yesterday. 5 guys, 5 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts. The bullpen, Yimi, Maton, Stanek, Graveman, Presley, dynamite. We'll get to them in a second. Here was Lance McCullers. Dusty revealed after the game he pulled Lance McCullers because McCullers was feeling some tightness in his forearm, which we have PTSD about that here in Houston. Here was McCullers taking us through the ailment that took him out of the game.
I just started getting tight at the beginning of the inning. I got out of it. It was fine. But, in 5-1 ball game, especially 5-1, especially with how they came back on us a few nights ago. I felt like we had the off day yesterday, so our guys were pretty rested up. And, you know, I just told him, I said, listen, you know, I'm not 100%. So, you know, I pitched the whole fourth inning like that. You know, I could probably do it, but I don't think it'd be the best idea. And so they went to the pen and they did a masterful job.
All right, so what do you make of this, Seth?
Well, he was his pitch count was getting up there.
It's in the 70s, yeah, 73, somewhere around there.
This is a thing that it's a little inaccurate to say he was on full rest, because even though he had 4 days rest, originally he wasn't planning on pitching. Obviously, yesterday it would be Wednesday at the earliest, so he had lifted weights on Monday. He had done a bullpen closer to Tuesday's start than normally would have been. Like he lifted like he was going to be pitching on Wednesday potentially. So maybe he was a little bit more fatigued than usual going into a start, even though he had 4 days rest. So I wonder if even that. This is what I'm doing. I'm crossing my fingers literally, and I'm saying, maybe even the amount of forearm tightness he had wasn't that suspect. It's just that he also knew that he wasn't truly fully rested at that mm-hmm. point. So they had to be very careful with it. And like you said, everybody else, because of the off day, was healthy.
Sounded like if it was 2-1, he would have stayed in the game. Like he brought up the score. You know, he said the fact that it was 5-1 factored into how. For what it's worth, here is Lance. I think everybody's question is, okay, I mean, you just had Tommy John surgery back in 2019. You missed the whole season, and you just signed a big contract, you know, 5 years, $85 million, which if he's healthy is one of the biggest bargains in baseball the next 5 years. What does Lance think about his UCL? Is the UCL okay?
I don't think it has anything to do with my ligament. So, we'll have to just wait and see, you know, how I feel tomorrow and if we're going to get any imaging done, things like that. I mean, I wouldn't pitch for at least 5 days. So, and there's probably an off day mixed in there. So 6 days. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. For what it's worth, my guess is the way the schedule lays out for the ALCS, just to remove any mystery from what Lance was saying at the end right there. Game one is Friday. Game two is Saturday. He's obviously not pitching in either of those games. Then there's an off day Sunday. So the next game would be on Monday. So coming off of his start, Seth, in which he threw a little over 70 pitches, so not his normal workload, he would have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 5 days rest leading up to a Monday game up in Boston.
So we just need some of that super healing to kick in. Or if it's not even, I shouldn't even say healing. It's just that's tightness, Sean. This is the problem. You're right. We've got PTSD about either tightness or just discomfort.
Forearm. Year, it's the word forearm for me, because that's what it was with Verlander. Remember the strain in his forearm?
It wasn't even a strain. They said forearm. Weren't they saying? They were saying forearm discomfort.
Something.
Or tightness for a long time.
It was a forearm. That's all I remember.
Before they ultimately had to admit that it was
Tommy John.
except that they said it's not quite Tommy John. It's a Tommy John.
Until it was.
It was so weird. Yeah. It was such a weird situation. Yeah. So hopefully that's not what it's dealing with. The whole thing about the, you know, whether it's the UCL or not, generally, and doctors out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm basing this off personal experience. When it comes to a ligament, it's not, you don't feel a ligament as much as, like, you don't feel a tightness or pain as much as your joint just gets loose.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the pain that you feel or a tightness or anything. It's just like, oh, I'm all wobbly because I don't have the proper things holding my bones in place.
Yeah.
So I think with the way it's been described so far and given Lance's demeanor afterwards, I'm guessing that this is just simple knock on wood forearm tightness.
You know who a big winner was yesterday for the Astros, Seth? James Click. Look at the five guys who came in out of the bullpen yesterday to pitch for this team. Yimi Garcia, Philip Maton, and Kendall Graveman were three of the five. Those were his three trade deadline pickups. Like, those were the pickups that we were lauding back on August the 1st, going, look at what James Click has done to remake this bullpen without really giving up anything of significance. They gave up Abraham Toro and Joe Smith and Miles Straw. They didn't really give up much to get three guys who were performing well for the teams they were on. Now, the three of them have been very inconsistent for the Astros, but yesterday, Yimi was fine. Maton was downright dominant at times. And Graveman beaned Abreu, which gave us a moment, too. So
Sean, it's going to be like that. If the Astros are going to make a run, you're going to see guys rise to the occasion. because that's they've been a 500 baseball team over the last couple months. It has they've underperformed in a lot of respects, and the entire time, maybe because we're a little spoiled or we're a little too arrogant here, you know that they're better than they've produced and performed. Yeah. You just and so many of their bad performances have come versus the bad teams. That's why Ryan Tepera spouting off was music to Astros fans' ears in a lot of ways, because this is a team, for better or for worse, I think sometimes it just, they need that little extra oomph. They need that extra, that chip on their shoulder or whatever it is, and then they really thrive in those occasions. The great thing about the playoffs is that pretty much every single game is that way anyway. So whatever the doldrums were in August and what have you, they seem to have been awoken from it.
All right, Ryan Tepera is a story. We have not gotten to him yet. We will get to him. The Astros got to him. Maybe not so much on the mound. He pitched okay yesterday, but he was a big topic after the game. What did the Astros have to say about Tepera? What are they saying today about Tepera up in Chicago? We will get to that. Next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we made it through the first 33 minutes of this show without really talking about Ryan Tepera of the White Sox, the reliever who, well, let's just reset. I feel it's appropriate to reset what he said following Game 3 on Sunday, because it's even more ridiculous now when you look at the TKO that the Astros administered on the White Sox yesterday. Let's relive the magic of White Sox reliever Ryan Tepera taking a gigantic chip and placing it right on the shoulder of the Astros.
They've obviously had a reputation of, you know, doing some sketchy stuff over there. And, you know, it's just, we can say that it's a little bit of a difference. You know, I think you saw the swings and misses tonight compared to, you know, the first two games of Minute Maid. But that's not really the story, you know. We come here to play. You know, we're going to compete. We're not even going to worry about what they're going to do. All we have to do is execute pitches, and they can't hit them anyways.
Seth, if that was an Astros pitcher talking smack about a team that's been to four straight ALCSs, now five, Like, if that was some middle relief, like if Philip Maton went out and poked the bear on the Dodgers, the defending World Series champs, we would be crushing him. And I hope that people up in Chicago are summarily crushing Ryan Tepera today. We'll get to what the Astros had to say about this clown after the game in just a second. But all I could think of after this game is Altuve's hitting that three-run home run to make it 10-1, and I am so glad they finished with double-digit runs because it is the exclamation point that you need. If I'm him, I drive to the airport, I get on a plane, and I never come back to Chicago ever again.
But where does he go?
Witness protection.
He's going to go back to Brazoria County, I guess? I don't know. You're going to find a little pocket somewhere there where there's no Astros fans?
I'm going to tell you this right now. As somebody who's lived in Chicago, I lived in Chicago for 3 years.
Right.
I lived there when the White Sox won the World Series in 2005. Yeah. And I can tell you that even when the White Sox are winning World Series, the Cubs are the team up there. If this guy did this and he was a member of the Chicago Cubs, he would be Bartman right now.
No, what I'm saying, Sean, is where's he going to go? He's from Houston. He can't go back to his. He's going to have to hang out. He's going to hear about this in Houston all the time. It's not going to be, you know, violent or anything the way it would be in Chicago. Yeah. But he's going to be. I don't know. I'm guessing this, Sean. This is what I would predict. I think that people outside the city of Houston genuinely don't understand about what happens when you poke the bear with the Astros. They really don't. Because every time the Astros go into a new city, or for the first time this year, fan bases act like, well, how are they going to respond to our loud noises? How are they going to respond when we say bleep Altuve? Like, oh, Altuve's going to hit a walk-off or two against you. That's what he's going to do, all right? Yeah. Or he's going to hit a three-run homer in a game that's already been decided. Like, that's what they do. And I think this is one of those situations, usually in sports, usually it's the athletes themselves saying, like, well, no, the locker room, the blackboard material talk is overblown and whatnot, and it's the fans that go hook, line, and sinker for it. In baseball, I think it's a little different because new age baseball fan wants to be so analytical and snobby about the glorious game of baseball that they think, like, well, no, things like this don't actually have an effect in baseball. Yeah. Meanwhile, Pruszynski and those guys and, other actual players are talking about, like, guys on the pregame show.
Yeah, Ortiz,
saying,
Big Poppy was talking about it multiple times.
Why would you poke the bear? Mm-hmm. Ortiz has seen it. He's watched this. He's watched this team. He's paid attention. Yeah. Like, why would you poke the bear? Why would you do that? So, yeah, I think you're right. At some point, Chicago sports fans have to know and understand how incredibly dumb it was for Ryan Tepera. Which, by the way, the dumbest thing Ryan Tepera said in that, it wasn't even his insinuations about cheating. It was when he said, they can't hit our pitches anyway. I mean, I'm looking at the playoff stats. Sean, Yordan had a 1.458 OPS. Like, that's the sound he went plus Ted Williams again.
Yeah.
They had three guys with OPSs at one or higher.
Yeah.
They had Bregman had a 955 OPS. Correa had a 944 OPS. Jake Myers, 857. Like, all these guys were hitting the snot out of the ball. It was and even in the game where they didn't hit that well, they scored six runs,
yeah.
Honestly, he's got to be kicking himself, Ryan Tepera. It was the last question an answer that he did in that press conference, which I didn't watch the entire thing. Apparently, up to that point, it had been pretty much nondescript. And then, for whatever reason, he decided to piss off his entire home city and the entire city of Chicago eventually.
Well, part of them has to be like, okay, like, part of them has to, like, look at the PR staff and go, why did we put this guy in a press conference? Like, forget about what he said. Like, why is a middle reliever in a press conference for a game that you won 12-6 against
He had a good run. He was two scoreless innings.
Okay,
in
whatever.
He was a hero.
Yeah,
he was a hero of game three, Sean.
I guess. All right, let's get to the Astros responding to
That's probably, by the way, what they don't. They'll give Ryan Tepera kid glove treatment because he was the hero of game three.
Right. Yeah. Sure they will. I'm sure. So here, the Astros, of course, the Astros responded by scoring 10 runs. Following the game, they were asked, let's start with Jose Altuve, who was asked about Ryan Tepera. Predictably, Jose kept it classy, unfortunately.
You know, we show up today. We're playing a really good team, first of all. You know, they can hit and they can pitch. They can pitch really good. And, you know, no matter what happened, we show up today to win the game. You know, we didn't want to go back to Houston and play and play a game five against them because they're really good, you know, and I like the way they're playing. And like I said, we show up today, try to win the game, and I'm really happy and thanks God we won today.
Okay, so Jose answers a question about Ryan Tepera, predictably, without even mentioning Tepera's name. So that's Jose Altuve. That's who he is, yeah. And that's why we love him so much.
Altuve, before we get to the man who was waiting in the wings as Altuve was speaking.
Yes.
So Correa hears the question that's asked of Altuve.
Yeah.
And Correa is us, like, as fans.
Yes.
Because every time Altuve gives an appropriate response to something, we laud Altuve for basically being a better human being than we are.
Right.
Like, because all of us love to imagine ourselves in that situation where we love to just thumb our noses at the world.
Yeah.
Correa is sitting there waiting, basically the exact same person that we are emotionally.
Drooling.
Yes.
Drooling, waiting for the question. Carlos Correa, slightly chippier than Jose Altuve.
Disrespectful words with no facts, with nothing to say. We score 6 runs at home. Then we score, what, like 9, and then we score 6 again here. They just happened to score 12. And then you look at our OPS on the road, what's the best in all the big leagues throughout a 162-game season, which we play 81 on the road. Their OPS was a lot higher at home than it was on the road. So, you know, just another kid that needs to know the facts or... You know what else needs to do?
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Real quick.
What are they gonna say about us now?
Yeah, real quick. Ben, give me more. I need more Correa. Give me more Correa.
He said what he said. Just, you know, I encourage the players to when you're gonna talk shit about other teams, just stay facts. You know, if you don't stay facts, then you lose credibility in this game. And you know, it's unfortunate that he had to say those words. We came out here hungry, and he showed up.
It's so nice, Seth, that not only is Carlos Correa just chippier than the rest of the guys, but that he is their best postseason performer as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Carlos Correa can step up and say these things, in part because he had the big hit to flip game 2. You know, he had that double to flip game 2. He had the hit that gave the Astros the lead for good yesterday. Like, and not to mention what he does defensively for this team. The guy is so good. He's just so good, and that helps.
It's really astounding when you look at his defensive metrics, his defensive WAR, all that stuff compared to other WAR leaders, and he's just so money out there. I think that the important thing about Tepera to remember is too, Sean. This is where I actually ended up apparently on the radar up in Chicago yesterday.
Really?
Oh, well, because of my tweet when I just put facts out there, right? That's all I can do. Unlike Ryan Tepera, who doesn't even bother to cite stats or evidence or anything for what he says. He just says that, well, we won, so the Astros must be cheating at home and not on the road. Ryan Tepera's ERA before the sticky stuff ban was 1.82. His ERA after the sticky stuff ban was 4.05. So I just put that out there. And people in Chicago got very, very upset that I wasn't painting the whole picture. And I thought, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I didn't realize Tepera deserved the benefit of the doubt when it came to the entire picture. He did get injured. He was on the IL. He had a really bad performance right after the sticky stuff ban, which, remember, several pitchers were complaining that without the sticky stuff, they were going to get injured. So neither here nor there. He had a really bad performance. Then after he came back from the IL, he was pretty good. Huh. But all I did was put the facts out there.
Yeah,
somehow Ryan Tepera needs a full-bore, full-blown super analysis of everything before we say anything about Ryan Tepera. But he can just insinuate cheating with absolutely zero evidence whatsoever.
Last Astro to weigh in here on Tepera, at least that we're going to play here. Lance McCullers had an interesting little before addressing Tepera directly. Lance McCullers had a very interesting little drive-by on Tepera.
You know, it was a pretty classic Astros win. You know, good pitching, good defense, timely hitting, away from home. Imagine that, and came out with the series win.
Okay, so imagine that thinly veiled shot at Ryan Tepera. Hey, let's answer the question directly about Ryan Tepera, though, Lance.
I think they're pretty secure in themselves, you know, who they are, what they have accomplished. I don't think they're going to, you know, allow a comment, you know, from someone like that bother them. you know, he got to tip a cap to him as well. He came in and threw the ball well today. I know we got the run off him, but he comes in after saying those things and threw the ball well. But, you know, it's a laundry list of people now, media, fans, players, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. All we can do is just keep doing our thing, keep winning. We have a close-knit locker room, and like I said, and you know, a comment from someone like that's not gonna matter to them much.
All right, there you go.
That's this is the other thing that happens in the national media. I've noticed, Sean, is that basically Ryan Tepera will say something like, which honestly, again, would like objectively, it was stupid. It was a really stupid thing to say. Subjectively, it was even dumber because you're poking the bear, you're doing all of that stuff. So both subjectively, objectively stupid on multiple levels. But what happens is, like I saw Keith Olbermann and a whole lot of other people say, well, Astros fans, what you don't understand is that this is your penance because you didn't receive a proper punishment, which the Astros organization actually was punished a lot for. they act like there was no punishment, which is absurd. But because you didn't receive a proper punishment, that's your penance. So what they're saying is, for one, the majority of players on the Astros who weren't even involved in the cheating scandal, they have to pay the penance somehow for what was done in 2017. But what they also fail to realize is that it's also our right to go ahead and beat you after you talk smack about us, which feels really, really good.
Yeah.
So every time I see somebody say, like, well, Astros fans shouldn't be upset about somebody accusing them of cheating. No. You dullard. Mm-hmm. You don't understand how much fun it is to get upset by it and then shut up the accuser. That's the fun part.
Yes.
Like that's what gives it its extra oomph. That is it's a whole lot of fun. And if you're some franchises like the New England Patriots, it lasts decades.
Mm-hmm.
You get to enjoy that feeling for decades. So I kind of enjoy or hope for more Ryan Taparas in our lives.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. 45 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Texans general manager Nick Caserio. He'll join us at 7:30 on the show. Seth, is it any surprise that Ryan Tepera is acting the fool when this clown is his manager? Here was Tony La Russa on Kendall Graveman hitting Jose Abreu with a pitch with four outs to go, with four outs standing in between the Astros in their fifth straight ALCS. Tony La Russa has the gall to not only argue with the umpires for about 7 minutes. I think he was trying to get thrown out, and the umpires are just like, we're not throwing you out. That's what you want. We're not giving it to you, old man. Sorry. But then he's got the gall to sit at the microphone after the game and give this drivel.
Well, I questioned, you know, after they threw three pitches in there, why they should have just ejected him. It'll be a good test of the character and credibility of the winning team, because it was intentional. Catcher kept looking in the dugout. So that they hit him intentionally. And I'll be really curious. They should have the guts to admit that they did it. Why they did it, I have no reason to understand. You know, I only carry my sportsmanship so far, and I've gotten the limit. They beat us. They played better. We're disappointed. But that was intentional. And I don't understand why. Don't understand how they got away with it.
I mean,
that was intentional. I can't explain why or how or for what reason anybody would ever do it. But I know it was intentional.
This guy
even though Abreu's been hit, Abreu's been hit like 400 times like that this year
because
he just stands in there and he's going to take it.
He gets hit like twice a week during the season.
Yeah, apparently, what the Astros were hoping to do was start some kind of a rally and blow this game somehow. That's exactly what they were going to do.
No,
La Russa. This team has actual experience in the playoffs. Like, they're not gonna do something to Abreu, especially Abreu. The least agitated person in the building was Abreu himself.
Yeah.
He was out there at first base, and you could see it. He was like, come on, Tony. I just want to get out of here.
Everybody
was. Let me go home.
And I guarantee you, every person in that dugout with the White Sox is like, will you just shut the hell up? Like, I just want to go home. Dude, they're killing us right now.
Everybody, I saw everybody saying, okay, come on, throw him out. This is ridiculous. He's been out there forever. I'm glad they didn't because I'm pretty sure La Russa just wanted to get
thrown out.
Like, yes! Yes! Like, he just 100%. He wanted to get tossed.
Yes!
So by not tossing him, they weren't letting the baby have his way.
Right.
They weren't letting the tantruming and the screaming baby have its way.
Right.
So, yeah, boy, what an insufferable human being. I just...
The worst.
No disrespect to the great things he's done in his career, but as an actual human being... Just an annoying beating about the head to try to have to deal with that guy. And I guess it's kind of a shame that he'll go out that way. I mean, nobody – look, Sean, in nature, animals don't die pretty. It's always ugly, and such it is in athletics sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Your last appearance is also your ugliest, and that's what it'll be for La Russa.
The part – honestly, forget about the hit-by-pitch on Abreu. The part of the game where I was watching and I said, that is a statement by the Astros – about the Tapera stuff, like that. It wasn't them beaning Abreu at all. Like, I thought that was just a pitch. You could tell by Graveman's reaction, it was a pitch that got away from him. As soon as it left his hand, he was cringing that the ball was sailing at Abreu's head. Like, La Russa's a clown. This was the moment, Seth. This was the moment where I thought to myself, ooh, this could get a little ugly down the stretch.
2-2.
Ball.
3-2, runner goes, and Michael Brantley lifts a base. Had just one attempt all year during the regular season and stole the bag. He gets a playoff stolen base right here.
Another one on Kimbrel.
These damn unwritten rules. Michael Brantley stealing a base up 7-1 in the eighth inning. And especially La Russa, who is so tethered to the unwritten rules that he'll call out his own team when they violate the unwritten rules. When Brantley stole that base, I'm like, that's the message right there. Stealing Brantley, of all people, the slowest guy other than Maldonado in the everyday lineup, stealing a base up 6 runs in the eighth inning.
And that's one of the other things. So, look, there's some unwritten rules that make a lot of sense, that they are about respect. And I know that part's changed, and I'm kind of ambivalent about it. I don't care one way or the other. As far as some of the unwritten rules, like not playing aggressively when you're up, those were just dumb. If anything, it's a lack of respect for the opponent that would lead you to be playing conservatively when you're up. Like now, knowing what we know about, you know, probability and whatnot, the safest strategy is just to keep trying to score runs and keep trying to score runs until the game is actually won. But especially against a lineup like that, It would be insulting if you weren't trying to keep scoring runs when you're up by any amount against the Chicago White Sox.
I think your point is a good one. I agree with everything you just said. Yeah. I think they sent Michael Brantley because they knew how Tony La Russa would look at that stolen base. I think that stolen base and everything you just said, those are all valid things. Like, I've always thought it was really dumb. You don't keep the pedal to the metal. It's on the shoulders of the defense to stop you. It's not on you to stop yourself. They knew how Tony La Russa would look at that stolen base. They knew.
Except that it is also. They knew that, yes. But they also know how easy it is to steal bases versus the White Sox. Sean, I honestly, if I were a White Sox fan, that's the most embarrassing thing. It's just these like uncontested stolen bases. I knew that the White Sox were that bad at allowing stolen bases. I guess I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know that guys are just – it looked like they were jogging half the time. Tucker went from first to third and looked like he barely had to breathe hard to do it. It was amazing how bad they were.
Well, I mean, look, we know Yasmani Grandal doesn't get paid $18 million a year to throw out runners at second base. You know what I mean? But I think it's an interesting – it really is – that's a little subplot to this series. It's very interesting. Would you rather be paying Martin Maldonado a few million a year – to be a very spotty hitter, but an elite defensive catcher and a great leader, or pay Yasmani Grandal 6-7 times that to be a really good hitter, but be a total sieve behind the plate?
Yeah, that's why, and it's really interesting when you start thinking about, okay, the way teams value players, it's always shifting and changing, and you know, things are closer than they used to be. Everybody's analytical now. But I wonder if the pendulum has started to swing back towards defense a little bit, because guys like Maldonado, Correa's defense, all that stuff, maybe is more valued by some teams than it is others.
Well, you wonder if the price of it goes up now. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. By more valued, it means that teams are going to start spending more on it. And that may have to start with the Astros spending more on it with Correa.
15 years. That's what I'm doing. If I'm James Click, I'm out there. I'm out there in the infield afterwards with big stacks of cash.
Yes,
throwing briefcases at Carlos Correa
full of cash. Right, right. He wants Patrick Mahomes money. That's it. Forget about Tatis. He wants Mahomes money. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. John McClain joins us in an hour. Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joins us at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour at 7:30. Up next, the moment yesterday, the moment that I knew the Astros were winning that game. Next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.